Welcome. You are listening to Linda Sims, and the name of my program is called A Voice of a People. Not only that, the station that you are on right now is WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to call in, ask any questions, or become a part of the conversation, please call 740-383-9944. We have all those things for your convenience, and thank you once again for tuning in. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, located at 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every second Saturday of every month. The next one will be June the 13th, the second Saturday of June the 13th. It will start at 12 noon until 2 p.m., so mark your calendars now. Free Produce Market at Logos Christian Ministry. Address, once again, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Now, don't forget, it's June the 13th, which is the second Saturday of June. Time, 12 noon until 2 p.m. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio, and telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Thank you for all of my supporters. Thank you for those who listen in faithfully. Today, I am returning from quarantine. So welcome back, Linda. Oh, I'm glad to be back with you. I was off all last week. One of my daughters tested positive 2 weeks ago on a Friday. I was with her that Thursday. She gave them my name, and I had to be quarantined for 14 days as of April 29th. So I'm free now, and I'm back on the station. Maybe you've missed me, maybe not, but I missed you, and I miss being here, but I'm so glad that I'm free now. Anyway, I would like to say this. I tested negative, so I never had the virus. I never had the symptoms of the virus. Even though it's kind of a mind thing, you know, when you've been around someone who did test positive and you think, well, maybe I got it. Oh, I got a headache now. You know, I was going through all these symptom type, I don't know what you would call it, but I just felt like I had it, you know, but I didn't have a fever. It was like 76 something. 98.6 is supposed to be a regular temperature. Mine was like 96. So I breezed through that without contracting the virus itself. My daughter's doing better, and thank you for asking. She sounds like her old chipper self now, and strong in voice. So she will be retested here soon, sort of like, I think, Wednesday, and back to work. She's one of those frontline workers at Heartland. Heartland Nursing Home. And there are a lot of frontline workers who have contracted the disease and have symptoms. So let's continue to pray for them. They have been helping make other people well during this time that I call the age of coronavirus or the age of COVID-19, 2020. That's what it brought to us in the beginning of the year. So here we go. Now today, my guest will be Tyler. I did not get his last name, so forgive me for that. He is an environmental specialist from Marion County Health Department here in Marion, Ohio, and he will be calling in shortly. So we want to thank Tyler for taking time out of his busy day and informing us with good news, up-to-date news about COVID-19. I have a thought for you today, and I'd like to start out my show with a thought for today. This thought is titled, "To be a giver is to experience constant happiness." Wow, is that how we can have constant happiness by being a giver? Let's see what else it has to say. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations in which we try to make others happy, even though in doing so, we neglect ourselves and experience sorrow. We often do things for the sake of others, even though it is difficult. And if this gift is not recognized or appreciated, we tend to get upset. You ever been there? And you feel like you're the one that's always doing and you're the one that's always giving and they're the ones that's always receiving. Have you been there? I've been there. I know how that feels. Last paragraph. I will experience the greatest happiness if I give without expecting anything in return. Oh, so that's the solution of not being upset, not feeling like you just giving so much and no one appreciates it, but giving to the extent that you're not expecting anything back in return. So therefore, you can be happy about what you're doing and why you're doing it. I have to learn to give wisely. That's a lot of wisdom, isn't it? When I give with a pure heart, I will experience happiness and make those around me happy too. And you can say farewell, have a blessed day. God bless you. Even though he used me to bless you and to give to you and be there for you and to help you through your time of need, we need to be more thankful. We need to be more loving and give with love. And a lot of people say, oh, we're under the law. We're under grace and we are under the law of love. The word of God says, how can people know that you are my people? By this one thing, that you love one another as yourself. That is the law that we are under, the law of love. And why? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So think about that. He loved you so much, he gave up his life for you, that if you would just believe that he did that very act, forgave you of all your sins, threw him in the sea of forgetfulness, not to be remembered again, as long as you receive him as your Savior. Wow, isn't that exciting today? Especially in this age of COVID-19. There's some hope for you, some hope for me, some hope for it. You may be able to share this with someone else. There is hope. There is love still in the land, no matter how crazy it may seem. And at first when this broke out, I think we were all crazy or thought we were crazy or thought we were losing our mind. But no, we're not. No, we're not. And I believe it's because the hand of God has settled this COVID-19 down. I just really believe that. The predictions that were made and the deaths that they were putting up there on those boards that they were expecting to happen, that God said, no, not all were spared. Not all have been saved. And surely there may be some more that will lose their life, but it could have been much worse. And that's the thing that we should consider. That's the thing that we should talk about and give God praise for. Thank those who were able to help us in any way that they could, as far as even the stimulus money. Wow, wasn't that was a powerful move from our president, from our leaders, from our governor, Mike DeWine. I think he's done an excellent job. I can't say that I can fault anybody because this was something new. Okay, now here comes our call. All right, we ready for it? Let's go. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, can we speak to Linda Sims?
Speaking.
This is Tyler here at Marion Public Health.
Hi, Tyler. What's your last name?
Pigman. Pigman.
Okay. I was telling my listeners before you got on the air, I said I did not get his last name, so forgive me for that. So how are you doing today?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? We're doing as best as we can here at the health department.
Whoa. So how long have you been at the health department?
I've been at the health department, oh, geez, what year is it? 2020.
Yes.
And I started my career 2006, 2007. So I'm 13, 14 years now here at Marion Public Health.
That's my first time speaking with you.
Yes. I'm glad I get the opportunity.
Me too. I used to have Tom Quaid.
Yes, that's our ex-health commissioner,
yes.
Mr. Quaid. He moved up to another county up north, I do believe, Geauga County.
Yes, he used to be a guest on my show at least a couple times a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully I'll do well enough for you. I'll be a repeat guest.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
And can you hear me? Is my volume okay?
Your volume is great. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
We're good to go.
Alrighty.
Okay. So what do you have for us? I call this the age of COVID-19, coronavirus. This is what 2020 brought us, huh?
This, murder hornets, fires. Oh, my goodness. This has been quite the year, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
But you know what? We're a strong country. We're a strong county. You know, we're going to get through this. We have some leaders guiding us, giving us, the best information we have in real time. And I feel as long as we follow this, you know, we're going to come out on the other end of it.
That's great. So do you have any predictions for us as far as up-to-date numbers or totals or...
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell everybody the best way to get numbers is to go to our website.
Uh-huh.
Now, mind you, we are a small health department of just, 20 people, 20-some-odd people, maybe plus minus a couple. And, we're doing the best we can each day.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to be very transparent. So, confirmed just community cases are 160 with 26 probable. And, I could give you the big, large number, but that's, usually when we're talking to people, we're all well aware we have an issue at our prisons.
Yes.
That number is more self-contained. So just within the prisoners themselves to throw out one large number. Now, I'm not saying we can't get community spread from anybody that works there, but we're just trying to give community cases. And at this point, we're at 160 with 26 probable. And I would let you know off the top, at the health department, I'm not on the clinical side. I'm the director of environmental health. So I've been doing mostly for the COVID response. I've been working with businesses for any questions they have, right when this happened, when they had to get shut down. Now we're communicating with them with opening up. And in a variety of businesses, from restaurants to banks to bowling alleys to gyms. These are all the people who within one day are calling me. And we're talking to them, helping them interpret the different information from the governor. And that's my primary role. So now our nurses, they're more well-versed in, the physiology of COVID and all that stuff. We're more on the regulatory side who's helping the businesses. However, that isn't to say myself and other sanitarian of mine, we've actually been helping out with some of the contact tracing. So out of our confirmed cases, all right, who they come in contact with? We're following up with them. You know, whether it's every day or every other day. All right, you've been in contact. How are you feeling? Do you have any symptoms? That's also a role we've taken on.
Right, and that's a very important role. I was just welcoming myself back to the radio because I was off all last week in quarantine, as you know yourself, Tyler. And it doesn't feel good when you realize that you've been next to someone, you know, that tested positive for the disease. And I'm so glad to be back on the air, and I'm glad that my daughter is feeling much, much better. Her voice is much stronger now. And I just wanted people to know that, you know, just because you may get it or may be around someone, give them some tips. What should we be doing or not doing when we're out in the open, or maybe we're visiting our loved one? What should we be doing or not be doing?
Well, those are some great questions, and I gotta say, we're glad to have you back on the radio. Absolutely, you know, I'm glad your daughter's doing better. That's fantastic to hear. You know, you don't always hear about the recoveries. People want to talk about the doom and gloom and report on that. You know, and there is doom and gloom out there, but there also are recovery stories.
Yes.
You know, and people that have gotten better. And I can't imagine, you know, having the health department call you, say, hey, you've been in contact with somebody, that's got to be scary.
It is scary.
You know, let's be honest here. You know, but we want to work with each person. You know, we're in communication. We got this brand new system. The state gave all the health departments just, I believe a little over a week ago, where now we can text people, you know, so we're not calling you every day and ragging you, you know, making you live this kind of shared trauma that you've been in contact with somebody.
Right.
So if somebody happens to be a case, you know, we always do an initial phone call, but we'll explain our text system to you. And if you're more comfortable communicating over text, just answering a few short questions, I would highly, highly tell people to enroll in that. You know, almost everybody has smartphones nowadays. There's a few people that don't, but almost everybody has that. If that's an easier thing for you and it makes you feel more comfortable, by all means, please, please enroll in that system. But, you know, knock on wood, hopefully most of us out in listening land don't have to be a contact. And some of the tips I can give you will help you with that.
Okay.
And the first thing, the thing you've seen everywhere, is wear a mask. At this point, you could say it's more of a sign of respect to wear it. You know, I'm somebody, I spit when I talk, I don't have the best enunciation, I don't have a radio voice like you, you know, I'm a little more rugged. So wearing that mask is going to help any type of spittle, any type of, you know, maybe larger substance that would come out of my mouth, keeps it in with me.
Yes.
You know, so that's number one. Also, number two, when you're out, definitely minding a distance. I'm the type of person, I don't like people right up on me anyways when I'm grocery shopping. So, you know, respecting people who are in the aisles. You know, that's a big thing. I go out shopping for my family. My wife has basically been indoors since this has started. She's been fortunate enough that her work lets her. So we've more or less designated myself as I'm the one person that's going out to get the groceries. And I see it. I'm in an aisle, and somebody else wants a can of soup in the soup aisle, and they're very impatient, and they'll go right up next to you or brush you. First of all, that's bad manners. Let's be honest here. You know, our parents, our grandparents have taught us better than that. But second of all, you're putting people in danger. You know, maybe you have it on your clothes. Maybe you were out and touched it where, you know, touching a pen or a desk. So maybe you have it on yourself and you touch somebody else, you can contaminate them too.
Right.
So let's mind our manners. Let's use some common sense in that vein. You know, those are two big things I saw this weekend. But there's a variety of other things. Washing your hands. You'd be surprised. And tell me if you've seen this too. All these people being so surprised. I've got to wash my hands now. People have been washing their hands this whole time.
Like they've never done that before, right?
Exactly. Maybe I just grew up with a strict mother. But whenever we came in from outside playing, First thing you do, get to the sink, wash your hands. Right. You're playing basketball, get to the sink, wash your hands. Playing tag, playing in the sand, in the dirt. That's just something I grew up with.
Right.
And now, being on the regulatory side, I work with restaurants a lot. I work with campgrounds and pools a lot. It's just ingrained in the rules and the laws of the state when you have to wash your hands, how often. So I'm used to seeing it. I'm used to doing it. I guess for the layperson, maybe not. But maybe this is something that we can carry with us once COVID's over. Once enough people have had it, or once we have a vaccine, maybe this is something that will be ingrained in people. We will wash our hands more often.
Right.
And it won't be COVID, but maybe you'll have the flu on your hands, or a common pathogen like the cold, or you're handling a raw food where it's salmonella. Washing your hands is the most surefire way to get rid of those pathogens, not just COVID.
That's true. That is so true.
So that is something we always promote here at the health department, absolutely, in all of our programs. But then some other tips that I'd love to give you, they're very industry specific. And I don't know if you've watched the news or know what's going on, but you know, the governor's reopening Ohio. Little by little, reopening Ohio. First, it was manufacturing, and then retail sales, and now Friday, we were hit with a ton of bricks. It's a lot of industries that are going to be opening. So I spent my good portion of my weekend, and today even, printing out all the guidelines for all the different industries, and it's a variety of things. Now they're going to be reopening pools,
right.
Campgrounds, the BMV.
So the pool will be open for Memorial Day?
Well, it's going to be up to each particular pool. Right now, pools can open not on Memorial Day, but the governor said they can open on the 26th, so be the day after. So let's call it Memorial Day week, they can open.
Okay.
Now, I deal with commercial pools, and I have learned a lot, especially through this process, talking to our local pool operators. It's not easy for them just to flip a switch and open the pool. I've heard from a couple people, after the governor got done Friday talking about pools when they could open, I got two phone calls from two of our pool operators. And they're saying, Tyler, that's great, but it takes me 3 weeks to open a pool. I didn't hear that from one of my operators, I heard it from two. They want to clean and sanitize the pool. Most of them repaint season to season. Then it'll take a couple days to just fill a pool. When you're talking about 20, 50, 60, 80, 200,000 gallons, you're talking about a lot of water.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of time for those pools to fill up. Then once you get a pool filled, you want to balance out the chemistry. Make sure you have the proper amount of chlorine. Make sure the alkalinity is fine. All these chemicals, you want to make sure they're balanced so your eyes don't sting when you jump in a pool. So your shorts or bathing suit doesn't get bleached when you get in a pool.
Right.
That's very important, the chemistry of a pool. Then after all those processes, they can open. So it takes a lot into it. So if our pools are getting ready, I've told them, if you guys can get ready and do it, you know, let's go for it. I'll send out an inspector, you know, before Memorial Day weekend or just right after to help ensure the safety for you. So that is something we're looking forward to, but in reality, it does take time. To do it and do it right, it does take time.
Wow. Well, we'll be looking forward to that, the pool opening up soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they have rules they just released, too, for now they're allowing softball and baseball leagues this summer.
Oh, they are.
But there's so much behind it.
Okay.
You can only have so many people. Finding out today, one of the baseball commissioners sent me an email today. I talked to him for a little bit. The rules say you have to properly distance people. On the field, not a problem. You got center field, left field, way more than 6 feet apart. But when you look at a dugout, those people have to be 6 feet apart. So you can't carry a team of 20 players. One of the plans I was sent today said, you know what, Tyler, we're only going to have 12 people. So we can properly space people out on the bench, and we can have enough people in the field. So, and then the parents and the bleachers have to be properly spaced. And you can't have a community water cooler. It can't be, you know, somebody bring a big jug of water and all the kids share from it. That's not allowed anymore. the coaches have to wear a mask for a full game. And you're talking July weather with the heat, wearing a mask, not going to be the most comfortable thing, but it's what we have to do.
Getting there.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I coached day spring youth soccer a few years back. I loved it, but you know, coaches, they got to yell. They're talking to kids 15 yards away. You got to yell to really project your voice. By doing that, you're spreading whatever you have in your mouth. So that's why they have to wear masks. That's why we're keeping coolers separate. They brought up some great questions to me today. They said, Tyler, once a guy swings the bat, hits a ball, who's taking that bat to the dugout? And that's a very good question. How are we going to do that and keep the kids safe? Or do we have to sanitize these bats between use? It's looking like we have to. So rules just came out this weekend. I'm not going to act like I know everything. I'm on mission. I know everything right now. It's us working with our businesses, working with our sports leagues. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do it safely?
It's going to require a lot of work and discipline, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, you just said the word of the day, discipline. Absolutely. It's going to take a lot of these businesses to be disciplined and also patient. I need commerce. People don't understand. The health department, we want the commerce. We need the economy. We need the people out there buying things, going to our restaurants, going to the softball leagues. Because what that does, that base supports the health department, supports my employees, it pays for my employees, us being able to drive to these places, pays for the gas money. We want the commerce. But people got to be patient to bring it back slowly. That's why the governor said, all right, last Thursday, you guys can open up patios. Then we're going to wait a week, and we're going to open up the inside of restaurants. I know a lot of people are itching to get to the restaurants. Hand to God, I am too. My wife and I, we're sick of eating at home all the time.
I'm sure we all are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we want to make sure if we go out, it's going to be done safely. And it's going to be a different experience.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be a much different experience. And whatever we can do to help these people out, when you go sit down at a burger joint, well, I'm ordering fries, I want ketchup with my fries. You're not going to see ketchup on that table anymore.
Really?
You're not going to see salt and pepper on that table anymore. That's not safe to have one product out all day people using. Those products are going to have to be cleaned between each use.
Oh, wow.
So expect to see those, the waitress bringing you those. Then once the busboy comes, they're going to take those condiments, clean them, give them back to the waitress. We're trying to really keep people from not doing what we call cross contact. We don't want people touching the same item over and over and over again without it being cleaned. And that's for a variety of industries. I know food's the first one I'm thinking about, but also with pools. People sometimes need a ladder to get, not everybody just jumps in a pool. You go down the ladder. Well, that ladder, those rails, are going to now need to be sanitized. They're going to need to be sanitized very often. Those are certain expectations we're going to have moving forward.
What do you have to say to the skeptics that keep saying, oh, it's just a fraud, this isn't real, the government has something against us, and all these steps and procedures that we have to go through to open up our cities again?
I'd say, look at the data. Look at the stories. Your daughter had it. Yeah. You've been back to everybody in Radio Land. That didn't sound like a good experience.
Oh, it was. And it was brought home, and even more so to her, because she was kind of skeptic. She thought she could just do what she wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's the truth. A lot of these young people, I was young once.
Yeah.
I thought, nothing can touch me. I'll never get hurt. Now what the numbers are showing, you can. And second of all, how bad would you feel if you give it to your mother or your grandmother? People are dying from this.
Yes, they are.
People say, people die from the flu. I'm sorry. If wearing a mask is going to keep my grandma here for another 5 years, I'm going to wear that mask.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm the type of person here where one death is too many for anything.
Yes. Yes, at least you'd want to think so. You know, you don't want to hurt someone else, and I don't want to hurt myself if I can get it, you know, if I can avoid it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm not a young buck anymore. I got to look out for myself. I have a family. I have a one-year-old. If she caught it, I don't know what I would do with myself. I'd be a wreck. Seriously, that's what I don't understand. Be skeptical. This is a free country. You know, be a conspiracy theorist. That stuff's interesting. But you can see it. It's a living, breathing thing. You can see what's happening to everybody.
Yes.
And I don't like it. I don't like to see people suffer. I don't think many Americans do either.
And not only that, it's not just here in Ohio or United States. It's worldwide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point. You know what? People don't think about that very often.
No, they
don't. It's a global issue.
Only look, you know, what we can see and feel is it's in our little area. And our mind isn't really vast, the concept that it's worldwide.
That's the honest truth. And you know what? At some point during this, we're going to have to work with our global partners. If we get a vaccine, and this is my issue with states doing different things too. If Ohio are doing these standards, if I want a vacation in Florida, and it's a free-for-all, I can get sick in Florida and bring it back to Ohio.
Right.
Yeah, that's a scary thing too. People trying to plan vacations. I don't know how you do it.
I don't either. I'm skeptical about going anywhere too far away from home. That, you know, I can contain where I am. It's hard to contain other places, you know, like getting on a plane and things like this. Now, I want to ask you this really quick.
Yeah.
There was a doctor on, I think it was last weekend, that said he received this virus through his eyes. He said his nose was covered and his mouth was covered. Is that possible?
Oh, my goodness. I hope not.
Yeah, he was on TV. They interviewed him, yeah.
I am not well aware of that right now, but I'll tell you what. We are finding new things out about this virus every day.
Now, isn't that something?
I never heard of COVID toes till this. I never heard little kids are getting nasty toes, and there's a variety of symptoms now. You know, it just started. It started as just a cough, shortness of breath. But it's evolved into, you know, back pain. It's evolved into diarrhea. It's a nasty virus.
It's very nasty. It's like it's mutating to something, like you said, different every day.
Absolutely. And that's the scary thing. And it wouldn't surprise me about the eye thing, but that scares me. Because I go to the grocery store with a mask on and a hat on and gloves, but I'm not even thinking about my eyes.
You'll have to pull that up on Google.
Absolutely.
Because they definitely said that. I'm thinking, oh my, he was on an airplane.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're learning things every week. Because here at the health department, every day we're glued to our computers watching the governor too. But we have state phone calls every Tuesday and Thursday with the Ohio Department of Health. And they give us the newest information like that. Like, oh, hey, now you can find it in the eyes, or now we have this other new condition or new symptom. So we're finding that information out. But when it comes in these big changes that the state's doing, we find that out when all you guys do. I know some people might be frustrated by that. I'm frustrated by it, but we're getting everything in real time. So it takes us a little time to digest it. And then if somebody has a question, then we can thoughtfully and accurately answer that question.
Well, it seems like it's going to be keeping you busy for a while. Now, what about these murder hornets?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as of right now, I think they've only found them in Upper West Canada and in Washington State. So I hope they stay over there.
Me too.
But we've got other fatal things. We've got ticks in Ohio.
Ticks.
We've got mosquitoes in Ohio.
Wow.
They carry diseases. They carry pathogens. And that's some scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
But what we try to do, we can at the health department.
All this water, rain we're getting.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And you're going to, and the first thing I tell people, we put up some billboards, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, tell people, if you see it, tip it. If water, tip it. We need that water to dissipate. We need it to evaporate. Because mosquitoes can't live without that standing water. So that's super important. But what we have at the health department, and hopefully this will assuage some fears in the listeners, the last, I want to say 5 years, since the Zika came around, the state has been offering grants. And the grants get competitive each year, very competitive, but we've been very fortunate where we've received the mosquito grant every year, the last 5 years. I just got notified last week, I got it again, which is fantastic. And what we've been doing with our mosquito money, we've been doing a couple things. We've been buying what you call mosquito dunks. They're little, they look like little white hard donuts. And I go to every township, my staff and I, we go to every township, every village, we go to the city, and we give them cases of 100 or 200 dunks, and say, use these. If you see standing water, throw it in there. If you see ponds that aren't circulating water, throw them in those ponds. And so we've had some great partners with local officials, all those village zoning inspectors, township zone inspectors, and other trustees. We've given them all these dunks, and they've been using them. So what these dunks do is it kills the mosquito in its certain larva stage. So by doing that, hopefully that's reduced some populations in Marion County.
Yes, but hopefully it does.
What we've also tried to do with the health department is we have a little bit of money to do, tires are a bane of our existence. Tires hold water, and mosquitoes breed like wildfire in those. So we've used some of this money to clean up tires around the county, too.
Right.
So hopefully by doing that, we're trying to keep that mosquito population down low.
Right. Now, do you think it would be possible for a mosquito to, sting someone? They actually extract blood from people, right? And sting another person, that they could carry the COVID virus?
As of right now, the CDC is saying, no, that cannot happen. There are some pathogens where mosquito doesn't spread.
Right.
Like, I think AIDS is one. They can't spread that, but there are other nasty things mosquitoes can pick up and spread.
Wow. Another concern, huh?
I'm going to have everybody worried by the end of this interview.
I think we're worried already because it's getting warmer outside and it's so uncomfortable with these masks already. You got to let your windows down or turn your air conditioning up on high. Then when you visit your family, you have to have a mask on. You got to wash your hands continually. You got to wipe down your car, your steering wheel, and your seat. And I mean, it's just a continuous. Boy, we ought to be really squeaky clean, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Linda, you know the drill to all of this.
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
It's a tiresome drill.
But you know what? Like I said, hopefully at the end of this, we'll all be cleaner people for it.
Yes.
We'll all have cleaner cars, cleaner houses, cleaner bodies. That is the goal. Okay. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it's the goal, but hopefully that's what comes out, the good thing that comes out of this horrible, horrible pandemic.
Right. Wow. It's just been good talking to you and bringing us up to date on a lot of things. And I know you mentioned that MCI we're not really counting what's going on out there, even though it has made national news, no, worldly news, okay, as being a very hot spot. And you mentioned about the new things that are going to be opening up by our governor. You have told us about some concerns and how we should carry ourselves when we are around other people. Keep up the distancing and keep your hands washed and wear a mask. And you said it's a form of respect.
Absolutely. And that's a personal thing to me. I'm not saying that's an official position. I'm out there. I see people wearing them and who's not. But I want to keep... I did lose a grandmother about a month ago.
Yeah.
I have one grandma left. And I have one grandpa left. And I want to keep them around here for as long as I can.
Yeah.
And I got a one-year-old daughter. I am trying to keep healthy. When she was in daycare, she was sick every 2 seconds. And while she's been home, she has been very healthy. And I want to keep her that way. Yes. And frankly, I want to keep my neighbors' kids healthy. I want to keep my coworkers' grandparents healthy. I want to keep Linda, you and your daughter healthy. Amen. So frankly, I'm going to take those steps.
Amen.
And they may be inconvenient. They may be uncomfortable. But you know what? We're not going to do it till the end of time.
Right.
I'm going to do it till they have a vaccine. We all get vaccinated. And we can go back to living our normal lives.
Now, what does that look like as far as how far away that might be, vaccine?
Oh, good. You know what? I hope it's sooner than later. But it's, you know, I can't give you an answer. That's for all the technical scientists.
Uh-huh.
And whatnot. That's what they're working on, and they're working diligently. I just hope they're working quickly, so we can all go back to our old lives.
Yeah, and have our same old temperament we used to have, but we'll all come out of this a little different, a little wiser, a little nicer, and share a little bit more love towards one another.
Hey, that's what makes the world go around, just sharing that love.
Yes, it does. Well, thank you so very much for being our guest today and bringing us up to date in the age of COVID-19. So nice meeting you, and hope to meet you face to face soon one day.
Absolutely, Linda. Anytime you need me to come on, you just give me a call, and hopefully we can, after all this COVID's done, we can sit down, have a conversation about how crazy our lives were.
I'll enjoy that, because it's been one crazy ride, I tell you. You know,
absolutely,
what I said? This COVID is going to make some people, and it's going to break some people. So it's been doing both things.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been doing both to me, actually.
Yes. Same here. Thank you, Tyler Pigman. He is the Director of Environmental Health at our Marion County Health Department. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. Thanks, Linda.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we thank Tyler for bringing us up to date about the COVID-19. Hopefully you can hear me. Yeah, that was good stuff, wasn't it? Did you enjoy what he had to report? I really did. You know, sometimes you may be fearful and feel a little edgy about what you do, what you say, where you go, who you're around. But sometimes it's just talking to people and get a different perspective of how we should carry ourselves and do things. Not that people are trying to make us do anything. It's just respectful and mindful of not only other people, but yourself. Thank you. This is Linda Sims, WWGH 107.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes. Methinks I am a prophet new, inspired, and thus expiring do foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And go on and on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences,